Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks for having me.
Tim, are people still worried about what's going to happen with interest rates in the U.S.? The Fed seems to have their foot down on the pedal.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what people are really thinking as far as being worried about that. On one hand, it seems like people have no concern, but on the other hand, we are starting to see a slowdown, I think. At least in my area, in certain segments, we are starting to see a little bit of a slowdown, for sure.
And of course, people have said the Fed's not going to be happy until unemployment starts to go up. And in Canada and the U.S., we still have labor shortages, people still looking for staff in key sectors, even though the high-tech sector has had massive layoffs.
Yeah, I'm still seeing with some of the service industry, there still it seems to be a shortage of labor here. You see the help wanted signs, but I don't think it's, you know, other than that, I think the general feeling that I'm getting here is in this area is that, it's a slowdown beneath the surface.
Technically, the U.S. GDP went up in the last quarter. They're predicting something like 2.7% growth this year. In Canada, the Conference Board and Bank of Canada, I think, are being more honest. They say they don't expect any economic growth for at least 9 months.
Well, I think maybe that is an honest statement. I have a friend in Belgium, and I was talking to him. He said after the first of the year, he said things started to slow there. He said it was obvious the slowdown that he was seeing. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe things are finally at a turn. I say finally. What I meant by that is that, you know, these gougeflation, as we coined the phrase a few interviews ago, maybe these prices are catching up with the consumer and they're starting to have to pull back. I'm seeing it, like I said, in a number of areas. I have friends in the car business. I'm seeing it there. My wife's business with, you know, kitchen design stuff and home improvement area, I'm seeing it there. Looking at the housing market in this area, you know, it's a touristy area, obviously, and of course there are things going on, but housing is definitely rounded the corner from what I'm seeing. So, yes, there is a slowdown starting to take root, I think.
Yeah, and when it comes to gougeflation, yesterday I thought I would have a healthy snack when I was going through the grocery store. I bought one apple, $2.91 for one apple.
Oh, it's unbelievable. One trip to the grocery store, it's unbelievable what things cost. You know, I talked about having people in the car business. I know a guy that owns a local parts franchise here, and he told me, just this week, a couple of days ago, we were talking, and he said, you know, a part that costs $30, for example, he said 3 years ago, he said now it's $50 or $60, and people think that he is the one that's doing the gouging. And he said it's not the, you know, and I'm gathering this from talking to people in the grocery store business as well. It's not the end retailer. It's somewhere in the middle that the gougeflation is happening. But he said that prices are extreme, and that he said as a rule, whatever he orders, he said he gets about 60% of his order. So he said the parts problem is not getting any better either.
And of course in China, I just saw an incredible video sent to me by a friend in Hong Kong who's very prominent in the business sector there. In China, they're now blowing up all those empty giant apartment blocks. because they're starting to deteriorate. They've been sitting there for 15 years, not used, not occupied, and they're starting to crumble on their own. They're unsafe, so now they're blowing them up.
Wow.
Yeah, it's incredible, and you'd think it's fake, and he said, I wish it was. I invested a little money in there, and it's literally being blown up. And I'm sure the investors in China aren't happy about it, but what can you do in a country like China?
I don't know. I had not heard that story. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
it was crazy to build them in the first place.
And again, then China's just going to build them again and claim that their GDP is going up at 6.7%. They always predicted that. I remember for the longest time, for years, our economy, we predict, will go up 6.7%. And a year later, yes, it went up 6.7%, not 6.6 or 6.8, always the number they predicted.
Well, what I'm seeing is that the inflation, the real inflation, is much higher than we're being told. I think we all know that. And I think the economy is much worse than we're being told. And I think we all know that.
I live across from a container shipping terminal. Last year, they were giant ships, and the terminal was always full. Now they can go for days without any ships, and the ones that are coming in are much smaller, about a third of the size of the ships that used to come in, and they only stay for a few hours, and then they're gone. So that tells me that shipping either coming into Canada, because Vancouver's the busiest port, or going out is not up to snuff either. Again, hidden in the government figures somewhere, somehow they'll try to twist it. And I hear they're going to, again, re-rig the way they calculate inflation in both Ottawa and Washington, D.C., because they don't want to pay seniors what they really need to survive on their pensions.
Not surprising.
Yeah. How concerned are Americans about the pension crisis, where they didn't put enough in, or they're expecting things to be topped up by the government? Is there going to be a breaking point here?
I'm sure there will be, but I don't know. I mean, I don't have my finger on that pulse, but I think when this bubble with all this, the shenanigans that we've seen finally goes, who knows what the consequences are going to be. But I do think that a lot of people are going to be taken by surprise with, the unwinding of this thing once it finally happens. And that's going to be, a lot of people have been forced to put money in the markets because they can't get a return anywhere else. And then, once this market goes, then, I can see problems with pensions and all sorts of issues. But right now, the sheep are still fat and happy. And, there's a little bit of a slowdown and people are concerned and inflation's kicking everybody's butt. But, relatively speaking, I mean, people are relatively still calm is what I'm trying to say. And but I think that, nothing has changed with the environment we're in. I think we're just kind of at the calm before the storm, if you will.
Again, because we had a market that has done nothing but pretty well rise since 2009's crash. A lot of people, especially younger people, think the market can do nothing but go up, and they're still putting money in, even though a lot of stocks are still overvalued.
Absolutely. And nothing with that has changed, but it's gone on for so long that it's been accepted as a new norm. And the Fed has done such a wonderful job at keeping this thing alive and going. People think, well, they've got our back. They're not going to let it go. Well, eventually, I go back to my statement, show me one bubble that hasn't popped. I mean, it always happens. It's just inevitable. In fact, I was watching a show last night, and it was kind of profound. My wife actually watching it. I just happened to walk in, and it was about these American Greed or something like that, and it was about these scams and stuff. And it was about a company that was actually featured on CNBC back in 2020. And it was talking about, I'll leave the name out, but it was talking about how their prices shot up. And it was all based on a fraud. And it shows the stock chart and how it went up from virtually nothing, and everybody that was involved become millionaires and billionaires and all this sort of thing. And the guy says, but what goes up must come down. And of course it crashed big time. And, like I said, I think, I think we face that same sort of thing, but they've done such a good job keeping this thing alive and extending it that it's just put everybody to sleep.
Does the Fed have your back?
They have had our back, and you know, since 2009, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I mean, again, they've done a magnificent job keeping this together. So in that sense, yes, they've had our back. But in the other sense, they've done a magnificent job at blowing this bubble up and making things inevitably worse. And so in that sense, no, they don't have our back. So I think that's a multifaceted question and I guess a multifaceted answer.
Now, Hilliard Macbeth, friend of the show, pointed out that when it comes to calculating inflation, they look at rents, but they never look at how much people have to pay on their mortgage. And with the hike in interest rates, people have seen their mortgage payment, monthly payment, go up in some cases $2,000 or $3,000 a month. But according to the government, this isn't going on. This isn't an inflation factor.
So why does anybody still believe any of the statistics like that? Why? I mean, we know they play those games. So what good is the number? It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, they can say it's zero. It doesn't. Who pays attention to that anymore? That very reason.
Yeah. Well, your pension is geared to the CPI, but they don't take into account energy prices and housing. And the government says, well, they're too volatile. Well, excuse me, for the people on a fixed income, they have to deal with that.
Exactly.
And they're just turning a blind eye.
Right, but if you exclude those figures from the numbers, then what good is the number? So that's what I'm saying is, I mean, it's not worth the breath to say it or the paper it's written on. So who pays attention to those numbers? I don't believe anything I'm told anymore. I mean, virtually nothing. Yeah, how can you?
Like you said, you believe what you see yourself.
Exactly, and what I see myself with the charts is that. You know, this thing is, people have been, you know, there was a little bit of concern as we come down out of the January high last year in 2022 and into the June low and then again into the August, September, October low. People were a little concerned, but now this rally, you know, coming out of that low and that was an intermediate degree low and into these recent highs, and then the market's just been in kind of flat line for the last couple of months, but it's lulled everybody back to sleep. And I think that's a false sense of security.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Man Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cycles Man Wood. Tim, what do you see happening with the U.S. dollar?
The dollar, we have an intermediate degree low in place. I see evidence of, which I was expecting, so we're rallying out of that low, but at a higher level, we may have, the longer term cycle that'll follow is a 4-year cycle, and we may have that 4-year cycle, top in place. There is evidence that higher degree top has been seen, and, if that evidence doesn't change, in other words, if the rally out of this intermediate degree low that is in place doesn't begin to change that, you know, the evidence, the higher degree evidence of the 4-year top, then I think it's by default it'll confirm the 4-year top. So what I'm trying to say is this intermediate degree rally is a test as to whether we've seen that higher degree 4-year cycle top. But in the meantime, you know, right now as we speak, the dollar, we have an intermediate degree low and I'm looking for higher prices. But in a little bit longer term sense, this is a test and I'm not so sure that the 4-year top hasn't been seen.
What's going on with gold?
Gold, we had in November, there was an intermediate degree low, and we have obviously had a nice rally out of that low. But I think gold is probably at the intermediate degree top and potentially a little bit longer term top, and it is poised now to continue lower. Short term, we're at a little low, and I think a bounce is probably in the cards out of a short term, shorter term cycle. But I look for it to be counter trend, and I think gold is probably going to continue lower.
Some people call gold a safe haven. It outperformed the S&P over the past year. Is it still going to be a so-called safe haven, or if the markets take another plunge, are they taking gold with it?
You know, gold has done very, very well, but the one thing that people miss, and I understand the safe haven aspect, and like I said, it's held up very well, but the one thing people's missed, if you look back at 2000, 2002, and you look back at 07, 08, 09 time frame, it all went down together, and we are positioned for that again. You know, like I said, gold's kind of hovered just like equities have as this has drug on and on and on and on. I mean, gold has been, it's virtually gone nowhere in 3 years, and yet we've had evidence of this 9-year cycle top. Same thing with equities. You know, we have, there's no doubt in my mind, we had last January, the 4-year cycle top, but we've had, we had some rallies, some declines that got people's attention, but these rallies have lulled everybody back to sleep, and the same thing with gold. If you look back, and I've said this time and time again, I think when it goes, all asset classes are pretty much going to go together, and I think gold is no exception. Does gold hold up better than equities? Perhaps. And like I said, it's done very well here, but I do think it's vulnerable just like gold when this thing finally does turn.
What's going on with crude?
Same thing. We've had an intermediate degree low and a bounce out of that low, but at a higher level. We've got the 3-year cycle top. With commodities, the dominant cycle is a 3-year cycle. I think that top is in place. We've seen a counter trend rally, but I think the direction now for gold is down into the next intermediate degree low. I think we go lower. Now, that said, later in 23, I have some cycle lows coming due in commodities, so that's something I'm going to be watching and covering in the letter. And, once obviously we get into those lows, we're going to be in a position for rallies in commodities. And when I say commodities, more so crude oil and grains and that sort of thing than gold, I think, because of the, a little bit different cycle with gold. But anyway, answer to your question, at the present, I think the direction of crude oil is probably down.
Do you think we're going to see record high gasoline prices again late this summer?
I don't see that in the cards now because, again, the direction of the cycle is down. Now, once we get into that 3-year cycle low and these commodities bottom, then we have a fresh cycle. And so anything could happen from that point. I don't know what the rally out of that cycle yields, you get to bottom and then you just kind of follow the trail, that you've rounded the curve, made the turn. And so it goes where it goes. My expectation, I can give you that. I tend to think that it's probably going to be a counter trend rally in commodities. In other words, we get the 3-year cycle low. My hunch is that the advance we see coming out of that 3-year low is going to be counter trend. In other words, it retests these recent highs and then turns down and into a more deflationary outcome with the unwinding of this bubble.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Interest rates. I think interest rates are key here. There's a long-term cycle the longer-term cycle that is of importance to us is a 3-year cycle. And looking at the bonds, of course, interest rates move opposite to bonds. But looking at the bond prices themselves, we should be at a 3-year cycle low. It's been trying to make that low. It attempted in mid-22, and then we got another push down with the next intermediate degree low into October, November time frame, October I believe it was. And now we're retesting that low. But I think there's a good chance we've seen that 3-year cycle low. That's not confirmed yet. We definitely had the intermediate degree low. We're definitely retesting that low. And the advance out of this coming intermediate term low is going to give us better confirmation as to whether we've seen that 3-year low. So that said, if we have in fact seen the 3-year low and it bites and bonds begin to rally out of that 3-year low, and get confirmation that that, you know, higher degree low is in fact in place, then that's going to give us a foundational turn, if you will, for a structural foundation for a turn in interest rates, I should say. And so that is key, the turning of interest rates. We see that get to the top of this rate hiking cycle. And then the structure and what's going on with equities, we've been at a much more critical, vulnerable position with equities than people realize. This rally has put people back to sleep. We've kind of had a relief in everything. If you think back, you know, everything shot up into, you know, looking at commodities and even equities. I mean, everything peaked in 22, and then we turned down and we had these counter trend rallies, and the counter trend rallies has kept people kind of occupied, I guess, and hopeful, you know, so there's no panic. But I think we're at a point now where we're back ready to turn, and particularly with equities, and things get interesting.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He was speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. If you have any questions for Tim or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.